The following may not be true. Any and all illegal activities should be assumed to be the fabrications of trained improvisers and taken as entertainment. Any offensive views or opinions discussed are likely the result of an inability to process context and intention over predisposition, and are not endorsed by any current or potential sponsors. In these cases, it should be assumed that the offensive material is likely the result of an emotional masochism within the observer. We assure offended parties it is not necessary to contact us in thanks. It is our pleasure to fulfill your want and need. Should the offended still feel the need to contact us, please do so at unopenedemail@yahoo.com. Thank you, and enjoy. Life.
With guitar!
All right. Episode 994 BC.
Know your rights!
Got Cindy in here today.
Number one!
Talk about car buying.
You had the right to free speech.
Talk about taxes.
As long as
she gives me shit.
Dumb enough to
I lose track of things every once in a while. It's great. So, what do we got going on today? Oh, I should do an ad read? Yeah, let's do an ad read. Alright, today's show is brought to you by Daisy. Daisy makes BB gun and BB gun accessories, as well as pellet guns. I myself have a Daisy I inherited from my grandfather. It's a 66 Power Master, no big deal. Unfortunately, I do need to get a gasket kit for it as it got some dry rot. However, Daisy, quality company, you can get those, man. You can rebuild them. No big deal. Daisy, find pellets, BBs, and air rifles, both CO2 and pump. Get out there and kill them varmints. Thanks, Daisy. All right. Daisy was our sponsor for the hour. What else? You know what we're going to need today? We need maybe an artist? I think I'm going to do R.E.M. You guys are probably familiar with R.E.M. This particular album is called Monster. This particular song is called Bang and Blame. It's a pretty good jam. Not bad at all. We'll hear a little more from this album at the end of the pod. Monster is worth looking up. If you got Spotify, you got whatever. I don't know how you get your music. In the old days, we stole it. We done stole it. But Taylor Swift saved America, figured out how to make money on streaming. So, it's out there, guys. The album, Monster. The song, Bang and Blame. R.E.M. God, I wonder what year this album came out. Let's see if it tells. Holy shit. Not a long time ago. Op 4. 14. We're talking 26 years, baby. It's Carney's classic insurance. Bang and Blame. A real banger. But let's get into this segment. Here's me and the lovely Miss Cindy.
Test.
Nope, looks good to me.
Okay.
Ready, Sam?
Yeah.
Play it again, Sam.
Okay.
and my head I'd be scratching in my wild life. Had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual. The trouble in my brain. With the thoughts that I'd be thinking, I could be another Lincoln if I only had a brain. Whew. And then I'd sit and think some more. Crowd's going nuts there. Nuts.
Thank you. Thank you.
Will you take that mic, the blue one there? Spin it up there in front of the other chair. There you go. You're almost there. Oh yeah. And good. Now we're talking. See? Maybe the crowd was a little too wild on that last one. What are you spitting out?
Thank you. I use a denture pad as a teeth guard when I play the clarinet, because otherwise the inner lips press really hard on the teeth and they hurt after a while.
Oh, wait, so you put that between your bottom teeth and your bottom lip? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I do.
And it's like, what, a little plastic shim?
Yeah, some people use braces wax. So like some, you know how kids have braces and then they'll put wax on so it doesn't scrape all over their mouth? Some people use that. Some people use cigarette papers. Huh. They just fold up really small and then put it on the teeth.
I don't...
I like the denture pads.
Yeah, like, okay, so... I don't see how the wax would do anything. Wouldn't it just...
It's just something that doesn't melt in your mouth that acts as a cushion.
But it wouldn't really be a cushion because it would just smear and go out of the way and then your teeth would be digging your lip again, right?
Oh, the braces wax? I've never tried it. Yeah. I've just seen people use it.
I've had braces, so I know what the braces wax is. Can you hear me in your headphones?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't hear me very well, but it's also because my own voice is in my own head. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess you just said it, maybe. But for those who don't know, that was the clarinet.
Whoop.
What kind of clarinet was that? Alto?
No, it's just the clarinet.
There's not different kinds?
Because it's the legit one. No, there is an alto clarinet, also a bass clarinet, and a contrabass clarinet.
You know, you can
and an E flat clarinet
wherever you want to.
Okay. I like fun. It the way it is.
Okay, good. All right.
And
good.
Then there's an E flat clarinet.
Ooh. So, E flat? Yes. A what?
E flat.
Oh, E flat.
So there is a whole clarinet family, but the B flat clarinet is considered like the standard clarinet, so it's just called the clarinet.
So yours is a B flat clarinet?
Yes. Oh, there's an A clarinet too.
But yours be cooler.
A flat clarinet is cool too. They use it in a lot of stuff.
It's a B flat joke.
Oh, I said an A flat. I'm sorry. A clarinet.
You want coffee?
Yes, please.
Booyah. Coffee coming up.
That was not Pinocchio. I was going to say it was Pinocchio. That was The Wizard of Oz. If I Only Had a Brain.
Yes.
By The Scarecrow.
The Scarecrow. Written and produced by The Scarecrow.
That's right.
Performed by Cindy. Oh, okay.
You
Cindy,
almost said my last name.
I know.
I caught that.
Right, but I caught it.
You're right. You caught it.
Well, now you've made it a thing, so people are going to figure it out. All of our huge fans are going to be on it now, dear. You don't even know.
So I was excited to play the clarinet because I went and played it for class earlier today. I had a clarinet lesson.
She's privately, what do you want to call it? Like, actually pursuing independent of school.
Yeah, I'm taking private clarinet lessons.
What do they call it? Lifelong learning, is that what they call that?
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Because when you say for a class, it makes it sound like you're...
That's true. What I had to change it because I was like, it's not for class.
Yes, it's a lesson. It's a lesson. And her clarinet teacher's got a super cool kind of house. Outside looks kind of weird because, like, the upstairs still looks like it's kind of new, you know? It's like boards and blue paint.
Yeah, because they remodeled it.
Right. So what year did she say it was? 1786? 1786. The house was built in 1786, and then they buy it.
All original wood.
No, not all original wood.
On the outside. The structural parts.
The front office is...
Other than new additions. Right.
Right. But the exterior walls are all put together in period correct construction method, meaning like they cut like grooves into the logs and then fit the logs together like puzzle pieces. And then they added additions to the house. And for that, they went and found other old houses that were being bulldozed and salvaged the wood from those so that they could have period correct wood and construction for the additions, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like a log cabin thing.
So you drove me there today because you totaled my car. So we don't have a second car. But then I was telling you how cool it was that my clarinet teacher teaches out of her she shed. And then you showed up and you're like, that is no she shed. That is way cooler than a she shed. You should ask her how old the house is. And that's how we got into this whole discussion because I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to buildings. Like, hey, that's a cool she shed.
Yeah, it's like, how old is 1786? So we said 250 years almost, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 So the wood looks a little bit different. You know what I mean? It looks like a historic cabin. It's got the logs. It's got the mud stuffed in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they built the she shed from scratch with wood that was even older than the house.
Yeah. And they reclaimed that from some other project.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was all very old.
And one of those houses.
Lots of old stuff. There was an old shotgun in there. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. That was super sweet. They were harvesting barn wood for something. I don't know, some kind of refinishing for the inside. So they bought an old barn and were taking it apart. And the guy found like a flint rock. I don't even know if it was a shotgun.
I don't know what other guns are there, so I just called it a shotgun. It looked long.
It did not have a bell-shaped barrel. But I don't know. It might have been like a blunderbuss type situation. It was a really big barrel.
And I don't know. Do you think it's one of those where you like stick the ball
inside exactly.
And then you stuff powder?
A muzzle loader. Yeah, exactly. A muzzle loader. Yeah.
Well, it was from the 1800s, they said. So it was, that's way before shotguns were made? I don't know.
Well, shotgun just means a gun that shoots shot. And shot just means a bunch of little balls. Let me see what you said. The barn was 17 or not?
Yeah, 1786.
1786. How about this? When did we invent cartridges? Gun cartridges. Boom. 1845. So it could have shot cartridges.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, so it's probably older than then. But yeah. Who knows?
Or it could be older than that. Yeah, exactly. Because the thing on it did not look like, anyway, everyone's super.
Yeah. Interested. So that was cool. And there were a lot of old flags. There's also a flag that says, don't tread on us. Don't tread on me.
Me, dear.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to figure out, because it had a... It looked like a map of something. It was like a sliver.
No, it was a long snake.
Oh.
It's like, don't tread on me, as in if you step on a snake.
Oh, you were saying that's a war flag?
It's a Revolutionary War flag. And I don't know the heritage of it. I just know that it's Revolutionary War flag. Basically, it's saying, you know, don't step on me. And if you step on me, you're going to get bit because I'm a snake. You know what I mean?
I wonder how they landed on the snake.
Because if you, because when you're walking on a path, you don't want to step on a snake.
I know, but how does the snake represent America or revolution? That's just, it was a weird symbol, I feel like, to pick out of all the different symbols they could have picked.
I mean, it's no different than putting an eagle on a coin. You know what I mean? Right?
I also don't know why they picked an eagle.
This is a fierce bird of prey, man. It's a killing machine, just like the snake.
I also don't think bald eagle is only in America, right?
No, there's some other kind of eagle in Russia that looks just like it, but it's not a bald eagle. Bald eagle is North American. I'm pretty sure there's bald eagles in Mexico also, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so...
Definitely in Canada and Alaska. There's bald eagles.
Really? Oh. So then, not exclusively the United States.
No, but North America, right?
So, we were...
Pretty hard to get animals to observe borders since borders are fake.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I was saying, we were at my clarinet lesson, which is where this house was, my teacher's house. But the reason... Aaron had to drive me to the clarinet lesson was because he totaled my car. And this started,
I may have talked about this a little bit. Go ahead.
This whole thing started a long time ago. And it's been so ridiculous, except I really, really, really like the rental car I was driving.
Really, really? And you never gave me the three reallys in your review. He said, I don't mind this. Yeah, that's
I mean, apparently I liked it so much I already forgot the make and model. I don't know what it was.
It was a Toyota?
Was it a RAV4?
It was a RAV4. It was a 2000 and I think 19 even.
It was a way too flashy blue.
Oh, man.
Toyota RAV4.
I've seen that same blue on a bunch of different cars, though. I think Infiniti's using the same blue, too. And so is Subaru, which is weird. It's like a, it's like straight off the color wheel blue, you know? There's like no...
Yeah, you know it's not my car because it was way too flashy. Like, I pulled into our parking lot at work, and the guy was like... Hey, got some new flashy cars. Nice. I was like, that's right. It's because it's not my car, because I would never own a car like this color. Anyways, but I did really like the car, and it got me a lot of places, which there are definitely moments during the week where we need two cars. But we had to return it last week, which was a bummer.
Bummer. Big bummer.
We only have one car. And I do go places around town.
I drive you there most of the time.
I know, I know. So it was helpful, except today you had to drive me half an hour away, which I felt kind of bad about, but not really, because I...
Because it was my fault.
Because you totaled my car.
Yeah.
That's right. I feel like I try to say that every chance I get.
In my defense,
you totaled the car.
You totaled the Malibu Max.
Yeah.
Which was my car.
Which was your car.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Might
have been a little bit my fault, too.
Well, you got really annoyed because I was like, well, I have a clarinet lesson at 11, and it goes from 11
today.
To noon today.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay, well, that's primo car shopping time. And I was like, hello. I mean, I scheduled this clarinet lesson last week, so it's kind of a big deal. So we had to go to the clarinet lesson, and I had a great time.
Well,
I love my clarinet lessons.
I got to say, I'm glad you went to the clarinet lesson because I went to a crazy thrift store. What's the name of the thrift store? It was like...
I don't know. All I saw was thrift store on the side.
Oh, it had a good name. God dang it. Can't remember it. Either way. But while you were there, I went to the thrift store, and I got... two movies, Vanishing Point, great movie about driving a 70s Hemi Cuda from back then, and Goodfellas.
Oh, Goodfellas.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so those are Log Cabin Collection movies, which is super dope.
I never watch movies a second time, so I don't super understand why people get DVDs.
But that's the whole point of the Log Cabin Collection. The Log Cabin Collection is like break glass in case of emergency and use DVDs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yep.
Or just be inside your head. I mean, that's what people do.
Well, yeah, but you don't, in a log cabin, you're going to want a DVD.
Do you even have electricity in your log cabin, though?
Good question. Probably not, but maybe.
Right. So you're just literally going to stare at DVD covers and say, like, oh, I remember this movie. Oh, my God. It was such a great movie, right, guys?
See?
And then you're just going to be like, all right, let's move on. No, next no. DVD cover.
Then you light the fire and you hold the DVD and you tell everyone the story of the
right.
Long, long time ago, there was a thing called a Hemikuda, and a man had to get it from New York to San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I didn't know what the movie was. I've never heard of the movie.
Yep. It's a classic. I won't spoil the ending for it for you, but a guy drives a car really fast from one coast to the other. Back in the day when only CB radios could, like, outrun cars, you know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
So back in the day, they used to say, you can outrun the cops, but you can't outrun the CB, which means you'd be driving down Highway 17, two-lane road. You'd have a Hemikuda. You could pump it up to 130 miles an hour. State trooper couldn't keep up with you, and you'd just walk away. But he'd say over his radio, I got a Hemikuda driving up Highway 17, and then another cop would just set up a roadblock. See what I'm saying?
See. Yeah. Very exciting movie, sounds like.
Well, it's pretty good, actually. There's a helicopter that chases him and stuff. Mm. It's pretty cool.
Okay. It's kind of like live TV coverage nowadays, really.
It is. It is a lot like L.A.
Yeah.
I'm glad we don't have stupid car chase. You couldn't even have a car chase in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean?
It would be a little bit tough, yes.
I thought L.A.'s supposed to be terrible traffic, right?
I don't know if that's where I see car chases on the news.
I see them.
I mean, it's
always
like in Texas and maybe the Midwest sometimes. I don't know.
I mostly feel like L.A., but now that you say Texas, I'm going to have to agree with you there. Texas seems like prime running from the cops.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's like people who don't give a shit. So,
well, flat land, straight roads, and freedom, right? That's Texas. So,
exactly. Big wide roads, which are awesome.
My family lives down in Texas, and to illustrate Texas mentality for you, my cousin-in-law has a big Ford truck and lives in a town called Santa Fe, where they had a mass school shooting maybe two or three years ago. And I think maybe a dozen kids were hurt, or I'm not sure exactly. So on the back of his truck window, he has a sticker that says Santa Fe Strong, you know, to show unity with the school shooting. Mm-hmm. And then right next to that, he has the entire state of Texas made out of a collage of gun silhouettes.
Really? I did not realize that. Also, they have their gun unlocked inside their closet that their kids run in and out of.
Well, I
did think that was slightly unsafe.
Well, when you say gun, you do a classic Cindy there, and you forget the letter S, because it wasn't just one.
It was just one.
No, dear. There was.
I know they have many guns. I thought there was just one that was in the closet.
No, that whole closet. That closet had like a gun. I don't want to call it. We'll call it a cabinet. Here we go. A gun cabinet, you know. And in that, there are probably two long rifles, two shotguns at least. And then he probably had three handguns.
Yeah, but there was one that your cousin actually just like stuck in a pile of clothes on the top of the closet. I remember because she went in and just like grabbed it out. And I was like, what the hell? Your kids are like running into the closet behind you right now.
Yeah, but she was in there. She was in there.
It was a weird moment. I was like, it's all right. I trust these people. They're good folk. I'm sure that it's safe. I don't know.
Well, the thing is the reason the door was open to the bedroom, which means you had to go through the bedroom to get to the closet, and then the door was open to the closet, was because they were in those rooms. You know what I mean? Now, I would say, myself, I'd probably lock it up. And furthermore, what was a little crazier was it was loaded with one in the chamber.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I knew that.
It was.
I just know that it was not locked up, for sure.
Step one, anytime you hold a gun, is to check if it's loaded, which is what I did, and it was. So. Yeah. Very interesting. So that's Texas for you, right?
Yeah.
But they're a whole different breed down there.
That's true.
Yeah, I went down to the pawn shop near their house. And it was nothing but guns and power tools, basically.
Oh.
There's a couple of drum sets.
I don't remember that.
You didn't go.
I probably didn't go.
You didn't go with me. I don't even know if you were with me on that trip.
I don't know what. I think I stayed. Oh, that's possible. But there was one time I did go down with you guys, but then I stayed at. Oh, I stayed at your Aunt Kim's house to do work while you went and rode side by sides with your cousin.
Yes.
And I was very glad to not be in that. I think it would be fun, but I also felt like you got really dirty.
Well,
I just don't like getting dirty.
Here's the thing that you're not even knowing, which is...
Oh, you guys flipped.
No. We never did none of that.
Oh, okay.
Not this time anyway. But so they've got, I don't know, we'll say 5 acres or something like that. And they got a horse, right? You seen? Remember their horse?
Yeah. Oh my God, that horse has like a hell of fly or mosquitoes on it. Oh, sorry. Of course I remember that horse.
Okay. So they've got the horse and then the horse is in the back pasture, right? Now, out in rural Texas and many old parts of America, in the country, you can have what they call a leach field. So a leach field means that instead of having a septic tank, which is like a big underground tub for your poo, you can just have a long perforated set of pipes that go out into the pasture, and essentially your poop and pee slowly just diffuse into the soil.
Wow, how is that? Doesn't that make your yard super stank?
Evidently not. But here's what I will say, and this is what I'm trying to get at. I'm glad while you're
you fell into poop.
Essentially, yeah, because the place.
Disgusting.
Well, I didn't fall into it, but the place that we were riding the side by side was A, the horse pasture, and B, the leech field, which means it's human and horse shit.
Ew.
Essentially.
Okay, I'm really, now I'm like extra, I didn't know this, now I'm extra glad I did not participate.
Technically, it's supposed to be sanitary, but regardless, we hit a big puddle and I got a mouthful of water.
Oh,
it was not good. Oh. It was so bad.
You know poop gets you sick,
oh,
right?
I know, oh, I know.
Disgusting.
And then my throat was for sure sore for 3 days afterwards.
Ew. Oh my God, and you kissed me. Ew. That's so disgusting.
I dumped it. And what's so funny is we get back to their house, so they live out rurally, I guess, and I was covered in mud, and they were like, just jump in the pool.
That's also gross.
That's how they clean it off. Just jump in the pool. That's why we got filters.
Yeah. Oh. Anyways, I don't mind getting like a little rugged or not showering, like going hiking and camping and stuff, but rolling around in poop, I'm not into that.
Well, I will agree that if I would have known how wet and sloppy it was out there, I probably would have been less into it. Well, knowing now that it was the leech field, you know what I mean? I'd never put that together until we went through this big splash and then I got that mouthful of water and I was like, ugh!
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, Texas. That was different.
Texas is different. You went for the Astros game, right?
I did. That was fun. I did like the Astros game.
That was the year before they won the World Series, right? And now they're the
No. That was the year they went before they went to the World Series and lost to DC. Lost to the Nationals.
So they won the year before or the year after that?
I don't remember Astros winning the World Series.
They won. That's why there's a big controversy now. They're in big trouble because they were banging on those garbage cans, remember?
Okay.
Yeah. The Astros are cheaters.
You know, I don't know what year they won. That might have been the year they won then.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been.
But anyways, the whole point of
the story
the
year before they won
is that we have to go car shopping.
It's true. We did have to go car shopping.
I mean, it was like a semi-productive day, I guess, but it was still like...
Essentially, we're just more prepared for next weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. Car shopping, house shopping, like all these things, they're just like too much work sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. It sucks to do when you're just like, what if I did nothing? Then I wouldn't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why we haven't just like committed to buying a house. I mean, like, people ask me all the time, are you guys getting a house? I'm always like, oh yeah, we looked a little bit, but honestly we're just too lazy. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, we're just too lazy. It takes too much work and we are lazy humans.
Well, I told you, once we get this car business sorted out, I'll start looking for houses. But right now I'm I feel like looking for houses and cars is just too much for me.
That's true. And I feel like I'm way more of the, which, I mean, I feel we're fortunate and I'm grateful, but like, we're not really super struggling financially. So I'm not always trying to look for like the best deal in the world. And I'm more of the mindset of like, if we find something and it seems like a fair fit and the pricing is fair, let's just buy it. Like, I am sick. I don't like shopping around a billion times to just like find one thing.
Well,
which is totally different than you, because you'll look online for like ever and I'm like, dude, let's just buy something already.
See, that's not true, because here, and here's why I say that. You're right. I do look online for stuff for a while to see what a good price is. But one of the reasons I get the paralysis by analysis is that I have, all of a sudden I start getting information when I'm looking it up, and now I have all this information, so I can use that information to decide what's good and bad. So, example given, today when we were out shopping for cars, you all of a sudden had more and more and more information, and as you would get more and more information about the cars, you got more and more picky about what you wanted. You were like, no, we want 2015 or newer. No, we want this much or less, and we need this and that, and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's true, but I mean, our parameters are pretty stringent anyways to begin with, because we got this like check-ready loan from the bank, and so we have to fit that criteria.
Yeah, which is a huge racket, by the way, because like, so for this loan, we have to get a car that has less than 80,000 miles on it, which is, we didn't realize until we went shopping today, so we wasted a lot of time.
I feel like we probably just didn't pay attention ourselves. I don't know. I mean, I trust the lady we spoke with at the bank. I felt like she was pretty honest, and I don't think it was like she gets a commission for getting the loan or anything. She was just like, this is what the loan is. You use it or you don't use it. It doesn't matter.
I agree. But I would say that she did not say the 80,000 mark. I would remember if she said 80,000.
Well, granted, it literally is on the first page of the information she gave us. And I was like, I felt like so arrogant when we walked into the dealership. And I was like, I want to drive this car. And we have a check-ready loan, so we're just going to buy it out. And the guy immediately was like, the car is probably out of mileage requirement for this. And I was like, I don't think so. We got the paper in the car. And then we went and got the paper, and I was like, you are right. Just kidding.
Says right there. Oh, and that's, I'm sorry, and not to jump the shark or what do you put the cart in front of the horse here, but that's one of the things also, just little things like that I would do different than you would do different. And I don't know if what I was doing is better or not. But like the guy, he's like, oh, just go get your paperwork and I'll look at it and I'll tell you. And then I walked with the paperwork to a desk that wasn't his and I set it down so that I could look at it and I could call the lady. Because what he wanted to know was how much money we can spend. You know what I mean? Like he didn't give a fuck about the mileage. He knew about the 80,000 rule. He told us what bank it was and why. So like those things he's doing are just tongue-in-cheek things. Like he's saying, I want to see this so I can show you the 80,000. But what he really wants to do is, I want to see the bank paperwork so I can know what.
So, I mean, basically your whole point of our shopping escapade is you don't think girls know how to buy cars. Because the whole time...
I didn't say girls.
We walked away. We went and sat down in our Dodge Caravan. You were like, yeah, well, the guy didn't give us a lot of wiggle room and was not interested in bargaining because you already showed way too much interest in the car. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? I was trying to tell him we literally cannot buy the car based on the price he's offering. And you were like, no.
Well, that sounds great when you say it like that. But that's not what happened. What happened was you did do those things at the very end, but what you did first was talk about all the things that are going to happen when we're closing on the car. So you can't talk about what you're going to be doing tonight in the car before you talk about what you're going to pay for the car, because then they're not going to negotiate the price.
I felt I asked very, very practical questions that ties into whether or not we literally can physically purchase the car today, because I wanted to get that out of the way. Because A, if he was like, oh, you don't have your registration or license plate? Yeah, we can't even make a deal today. Then I'd be like, okay, well, see ya. But
yeah. That's true.
I mean, I thought that was fair.
Well, it is, but it's not about what you think. It's about what he thinks. So you have to get in his head rather than hope that he understands what you want. So if you talk about closing on a vehicle and what the details are and what do we need to do now to get this car and you haven't negotiated a price at all, then they're not going to negotiate much with price because to them they hear, here's a person who wants this car.
Well, I also don't know like how hard this guy was trying. I honestly, I don't know. I got the sense he's like, maybe he doesn't get paid by commission or what, but he was not that interested in selling the car to us. It felt like that to me.
I think that might be true, but definitely he also could have been like, well, take it or leave it. I don't care. That way we couldn't press for a better price. Cause he's like, well, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. Blah, blah, blah. But he was very, very high energy and trying to distract us constantly whenever I was trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the one time I felt he got really intense was when we were reviewing the Carfax and he was like, oh my God, this car was only serviced at the same place for the all 5 years before
right. It
got to our dealership at the dealership, which is the best place you can service a car. I was like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. It's because there was an accident on the report. And then
that's true. There was an accident.
We were trying to figure out what the details of that were. And he kept being like, oh, but look at the maintenance records. Look at the maintenance. Ooh,
yeah.
Golly, look at the maintenance records.
He definitely said that way too many times. So I was like, okay, all right. We get it. Yes, the car has been serviced once a year
right. At
the same dealership because the previous owner has been going to that same place. Got it.
Done. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then he was explaining the title to us. And I actually at one point took a deep breath and just said, too much energy. And the guy.
You did. I was like, okay, Aaron, you know.
I couldn't take it, man. The guy was super animated and in my face.
He definitely toned it down. But I also felt like after that, he was like, I don't like you guys.
Yes, that is true. After I said that he had too much energy, he was like, I don't fucking like you guys.
Yeah, for sure. And he was like, I'm not interested in talking to you.
But if someone's holding the title for a car within 1 foot of your nose and pointing at stuff
speaking
at full volume, like...
He seriously was. Yeah, he shoved the title in our face. Well, more like in your face and was like, see this last number on the title, it means that it was only owned by one person before you guys. Okay.
Right.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, something about the rear end. He goes, well, you know, it could have been, the damage could have been anything in the crash. It doesn't tell us what kind of damage it was. I mean, it could have just been like a little bump in the bumper and then they popped it out. No big deal. So I went out and looked at the car and the entire rear suspension on the car has been replaced.
Now, oh, really?
Yeah. Now I will say this. If you're going to get a car that's been in an accident, you want a car that's been in an accident in the back.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Because there's less things there.
Exactly. There's way less things there. And it's possible that only the right side had gotten super effed up in the accident. And then since the person's the type of person who takes it to a dealership, they took it to wherever to get fixed. And the person who fixed it said, hey, if you're going to replace one of the rear shocks, you should replace both the rear shocks. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, that's possible.
But who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I will say it probably is just a thing that salespeople have to do is be like high energy and enthusiastic.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't know. I always feel like when somebody is chill, that makes me like way more inclined to work with them.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how it would work if...
Sorry, that was bugging me for no reason.
Oh, what was wrong with it?
The pop filter was on sideways. It was like...
Oh.
A little bit, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't see.
No more pop.
But what was I saying? Oh, I wonder how he would have fared, or in general, how salespeople would fare if they just chill the fuck out. If they will actually make sales, though. Because, I mean, they work for people like us, but honestly, I don't know. Maybe we're not the general public, and they just need to put up this front to sell cars.
I think being pushy definitely helps in anything that you need to get done, you know, because people in general are passive. You know what I mean? So, like, if this guy's forcing something on us, we're, by some percentage, likely to just accept it rather than put up a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think it's the opposite. And it probably could just be how I personally deal with things, but I feel like I shut down when people are, like, too in your face and overwhelming. I'm just like, all right, I'm going to walk away now.
So
thank you.
In this situation, if I wasn't there, you would have just walked away if he was like that?
I mean, I wanted to talk to him about, I mean, I did. I told him fair and square, this is what I want.
Right.
And if you don't, then that's fine. And he said no. And I'm like, okay, that's it.
By the way, the thing you did when you calculated, sorry, when you calculated the monthly payment and then told him what we could afford, that was great. I wish we would have done that right away. And then no matter what you calculate, he doesn't know what our ceiling is. So you know what I mean? So like, say you calculate it and it's something absurdly cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like $120 payment a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ooh, that's just above. Then you can, you know what I mean? You can still pretend like it's just above.
That's true.
Like when you started calculating the payment, I was like, oh, this would be good. We can use this as leverage.
I thought so for sure. Because I was like, it's not even unreasonable. And I'm literally telling you, and granted, I wasn't lying in this case. I was like, because I wanted my monthly payment basically to be less than $200. And what they were offering was going to be over $200 for my monthly based on our loan rates. So I calculated it and I told him fair and square. I was like, if you drop down the price by $1,000, I can make the monthly payment and I would feel comfortable purchasing it. And he was like, nope. And I was like, okay, well, fuck you.
It's still, I mean, yes, agreed. Okay, well, fuck you. Because that's the first thing my grandpa taught me. You always got to be willing to walk away. But it's weird because I learned how to buy cars before the internet. You know what I mean? And now the internet has totally changed the way cars are purchased. And most of it is this set price BS, you know, guaranteed low price. You know what I mean? Like, basically, they're saying, come in here and pay what we're asking.
Yeah. And we talked to Cochrane and they said they won't, in general, they don't negotiate. Right?
Yeah,
they have a non-negotiating policy. That's what Cochrane, Justin, the guy, told us on the phone, too.
Cochrane's not the guy we're talking about, though. Cochrane's a different. But yes.
Yeah.
Well, just so the people listening know.
A lot of people, or it seems like a lot of dealers don't negotiate.
I agree. And I think that's the new world, which makes a lot of what I learned useless. You know what I mean?
But actually, I am way more amenable to this shopping system because, I don't know, I don't like bargaining anyways. I like to just walk in and be like, is this a good car? And is this a good price? Okay, I'll buy it.
Yep.
It's like shopping around on Amazon for like sales, you know?
It makes me wonder where our bank loan officer was shopping because she said that her and her husband got different prices. Remember? So our bank loan officer said that her and her husband wanted to buy a Chevy Cruze and that they've had a couple of Chevy Cruzes in the past. And so they know what they're worth. They know they're dependable, blah, blah, blah. So she goes to the dealership to buy a used one and the guy shoots her a number and tells her they don't negotiate and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, well, fuck that. And she leaves. And then her husband goes in the next day and he gets another price, $5,000 cheaper. Calls her up and then she comes.
$5,000.
Yeah, $5,000. She, I mean, it could have been a new car, I guess. Maybe they were buying a new car.
Yeah, but even $22,000 and $17,000 is a huge
difference. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But either way, so then her husband calls her and then they come to the dealership and she's like, hi, to the salesman. And he's like, oh, you guys caught me.
Yeah, she was like, wow, you got a great deal, babe. And then they just both walked out.
And then they just both walked out on him. Good on them. Yeah. Good on them.
I mean, that goes to my other point is it's people tend to think that girls don't know how to buy cars, which is probably true. I mean, I had to ask the guy a bunch of stuff. I was like, what is this dock fee and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe I play it different than other girls, but I feel like if I don't understand something, I'm going to ask about it, and maybe that puts me at a crappy spot, but I'd rather get my questions answered than just pretend I know what's going on when
I don't think it puts you in a bad spot. I think when you ask to be explained things like that, it probably puts you in a little bit better of a spot, because you can look at them with skepticism if they sound like they're bullshitting. Or you can look at them and say, okay, and then give your complaint because now you understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy did get a little flustered when I asked him. So this, like, I guess there's this fee charged by the state of Pennsylvania called the doc fee or documentation fee or something.
Government processing.
And I was like, what is this $95 doc thing? And he was like, well, I mean, this is just like the state allows us to charge purchase fees, and like other dealers usually go up to $140, and we have to do this because we hand deliver all of our documents to Harrisburg. I was like, okay, you're getting way too flustered about this one price I was asking you. Like, I'm gonna not buy a car because,
well, that was that guy's whole modus operandi, was overcompensate anytime there was any kind of question about it.
Yeah, until you were like, until okay, I was like, too much energy. Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, fuck you guys.
Yeah. And at the time that I said too much energy, he was standing right next to me speaking at full volume. And then he was like, oh, what, me? And I was like, don't worry, dude. It's just me. It's a thing. It's about me. And he's like, oh. And then he like turned around.
That.
He like turned around and walked away and sat down at his desk. He's like, I'll chill out.
Yeah. He was like, I'll take it down a notch.
And I was like, okay.
I was like, oh, poor guy. I did look at Aaron. I was like, okay, Aaron, that was kind of mean.
I mean, he's a stranger. I'm a stranger to him.
It's true.
We can't be too worried about what each other think, right?
And honestly, there are so many cars out there. It's so true. We were like, honestly, we can take it or leave it. Like, do not feel like we are so enamored with your car that we're going to buy it no matter what, you know?
Right.
Anyways.
But back to what I was thinking, actually, way long ago. These check-ready loans and the banking system in general kind of creates an opportunity for people who already have a shitload of money, because we can't buy a car that's older than 2012, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are a bunch of 2011 cars with less miles than the 2012 cars, and they cost like $3,000 less sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, because they know no one can get a loan for them. So a car that you can get a loan for, they charge more for, because most people are stuck in that bucket. You know what I mean?
So you're telling me there is a 2011 Nissan Rogue out there that is only $9,000.
Maybe.
Or less. Wait, let me look at our list. Sorry, we wrote down a bunch of lists. You're telling me there is a 2011 Subaru Outback out there for 100,000 miles, that's only $6,000.
Just a second. I gotta pause. Anyway, sorry. I had to take a call. Not a call. I guess a message. I got a show tonight. So got to do 6 to 8 minutes, blah, blah, blah. 8:45. Got a couple minutes to finish up here.
All right.
So, long story short about cars, what? We got to go next weekend?
I suppose.
And you don't have Facebook, so you can't shop for cars, so...
Oh, yeah, but you were telling me that there are 2011 cars with the same specs that I can buy out of pocket.
Well, I don't know if you can or not. That's what I'm saying. I tried to shop these prices by you before, and you're like, no, I don't want to pay that much out of pocket.
I mean, I don't want to pay $9,000 out of pocket, but nope. I'll pay $6,000 out of pocket, maybe, if I can scramble $6,000 together.
We'd have to look. I don't know what your sitch is, but that's a research topic for another time. I don't want to fucking delve into that. Start reading statistics about cars to the listeners. They're not going to be huge on that.
That is fair.
Gonna lie to
Anywho,
you.
I also did not realize that not all SUVs are four-wheel or all-wheel drives, which was a very stupid thing on my part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's stupid because, honestly, the vast majority of them are all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive.
They are SUVs. they are sports utility vehicles.
Well, the utility, I guess, might be...
Sorry, if you can't see, I'm making a face because it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how you can be a sports utility vehicle if you don't have enough power to climb up hills.
No, you do, dear. You just have to do it in two-wheel drive.
No.
You don't have enough traction is what you're trying to say.
Right. You can't be a rugged snow mountain man in a front-wheel drive SUV, which defeats the purpose of the SUV. Anywho.
I agree.
I was quite upset when I found out the Kia Sorento and the Chevy Captiva are not all-wheel. So, too bad, so sad.
Too bad, so sad.
That's right.
Well, the thing about all-wheel drive is it makes your gas mileage go down just a little bit, even with the new kick-ass all-wheel drives that aren't always driving all the wheels. But the government has standards, and they're called fleet standards. So essentially what that means is, like, you know that Buick Encore we were looking at, the little itty-bitty Buick?
Uh-huh.
The reason Buick makes that car is so they can make the LeSabre and the LeSabre wagon, because the fleet of cars that they produce, when you add up the gas mileage for all the individual cars and then divide by the number of cars, has to be better than a certain number of miles per gallon, according to the government.
Oh.
So okay. The station wagon, you know, it'll get 28 miles to the gallon or something like that. You know what I mean? But the Enclave, it'll get 30 miles to the gallon. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. So that brings their average up so they meet government regulation. Blah, blah. No, the Encore, little guy.
Well,
just a little
guy. I mean, I guess we have to buy the car next weekend because in Pennsylvania, you can't buy cars on Sundays.
Yeah, what's that about, Commonwealth?
Doesn't make
sense. Stupid Commonwealth.
And all the absolutely latest dealership we found that was open was until 6 p.m. on a Saturday. So I don't know how they expect to sell cars. There's a lot of dealers around here.
Yeah, and also what's really stupid is not only can you not buy a car on Sunday in Pennsylvania, but on Saturday, all the car lots close at 5 o'clock. What the...
Babe, I literally just said that while you were zoning out on the phone.
Is that so?
I said the latest one we found closes at 6 p.m.
Okay, well, I used to work in a dealership in Iowa, and we could sell cars on Sunday, and we were open until 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah. No. It doesn't make sense to me at all. Also, it makes it so difficult when you cannot shop for things that are important to you on Sundays when it's the only day you're not at work.
Yeah.
And that's the same with, like, what, alcohol? You can't buy alcohol on Sundays?
Yeah, but alcohol's not quite as important as a car.
I mean, that's like the prime day for people to drink. So I also don't understand that.
Well, you can buy alcohol on a Sunday. You just can't buy it after, I don't know what time. Most places are Most places are closed by 8 o'clock, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe even earlier. But that'll give us some time to crunch cars, right?
That's true.
We can figure out make a small list and try to build a little map, build some logistics.
That's true. It's very helpful nowadays that there are online calculators for the monthly fees.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
I really, really appreciate Credit Karma for their app.
I just used some generic thing that was a .org, which was harder evidently.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Credit Karma is for dumb people.
I don't know about that. I think it's just more of an advertising tool somehow to try to loop you in.
Yeah. Also, our bank lady said you should go to Credit Karma and check your credit score for free, which you should because we don't know what your credit score is.
Well, that's true, but I don't need to know my credit score right now. And they don't actually tell you your credit score. They estimate.
It's an estimate.
They estimate your credit
score.
You're
right. It's an estimate, but probably it's accurate enough for a bank lady to recommend it.
Yeah, but I have to pull in a lot of information too. You know?
Oh, you think so? I haven't used this.
I bet they would want your total debt and all that stuff estimated.
Well, you...
Which I should probably know. I should probably know that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, considering how good my credit score is...
Yeah, you're pretty good.
It's amazing. Because guess what? I pay bills. What?
What?
Yeah. I adult.
You adult it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're way better at adulting than I am, dear. I'm not going to lie.
Except for car buying and house buying and all that shit, because I don't like that. Mm. But I also send my taxes to an actual tax lady now, which also makes me feel like a real
adult.
I need
to have your tax lady look at my taxes from last year, because they're flipping raping me.
Yeah, I forgot. It's already February, so we should really do that soon, because last year I didn't ask her until July, and I had to pay a late fee because I was actually just planning not to do taxes. But then you talked me into actually paying taxes.
I was adulting.
It's true. I really, really was going to just not do it and break the law, because I was like, fuck this. This is so much work.
I know a guy who didn't pay taxes for 9 years one time.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing.
What
because
happened? Oh, okay.
He didn't owe them. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
it's like a lot of people get a tax return. You know what I mean?
So he never collected his tax returns?
Yeah, because he was just paranoid. He didn't know he was going to get a return. He just didn't do taxes. And then when he finally did do taxes, he realized that he maybe owed them a little money and just like fines, I think, maybe, or something. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there are fines just in general for not doing taxes.
Either way, he did finally straighten that shit out. So, hey, if you're out there and you haven't paid your taxes, it's not the end of the world. Just go to an accountant and say, hey, I haven't paid my taxes.
That's true.
And the accountant, he's not going to call the feds. He don't give a, or she don't give a.
And that CPA lady charged so little. I thought it was really, really reasonable. And my taxes turned out not to be that much money.
Well, she's retired too, isn't she? The CPA that you're going to?
Yeah,
so she's just kind of
like
taking care of
funsies.
A handful. Yeah, taking care of some people.
It's
word
very,
of mouth,
very nice of
that
her.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never even, like, I think maybe I talked to her on the phone once, but otherwise we just did everything via email and snail mail. It was awesome.
Right.
Love it.
Well, I got to go make supper. So let's wrap this up. We should try to come up with a list of 5 cars, you think?
Yeah, we have a list. We have a list going.
5 cars and next weekend, right?
Yes.
Thanks for playing us in with If I Only Had a Brain.
Yeah, I'll keep practicing.
It's one of my faves.
I'll bring the music, our next intro music, to the clarinet teacher and we'll work on it.
Next time, Pinocchio.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll practice Pinocchio.
This has been our car buying segment.
All right.
Thanks for coming, Reggie. Whammy. Another episode in the bag. Got to keep them regular, you know what I mean? Keep them regular. If I don't keep it regular, how can you keep regular, right? And I mean, we're both unpaid. We're both unpaid regulars. Well, let's get a car next week, huh? Maybe you'll check up on it. Maybe we'll have a car. Right now, Nissan, Honda, Toyota, Ford, all on the market. We'll see, guys. To take us out, it is another track, the lead track from Monster, REM's 1994 album classic. This song, What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
You know those songs that take you back before you could drive? I feel like music's like got a before and after you can drive vibe. I mean, I definitely listened to this once I had a car. It was a radio hit. A real hit, huh? But I don't feel like I had a license when it came out. That's the episode, guys. Thanks for coming, Reginald.
Smile, come
I tell them, write everything down. You have to write. You have to write. Write all your ideas down and classify them. My first boss, when I was 18, told me that. He said, find a folder, put your ideas on paper. Any idea you don't think you can use it now, if it seems useful, put it down on paper and then classify it. Because good ideas don't mean anything unless you can find them again. Yeah, you can't go through a pile of papers 10 years old of notes. You have to, now you can use a computer. I had, before that, I had index cards and things. You have to be able to find race, religion, business, government, politics, men and women, sex, you know, all the, and then those categories, you break them down into categories. So organize yourself is what I tell young comedians. And of course, don't take no for an answer. If it's not working well that night, it's not you, it's the audience. Blame it on the audience. Because if it worked on Friday night, it ought to work on Saturday. And if it doesn't, it's their fault. It's over simple, but you know what? It works as a formula. Just go on and do the Sunday night show and forget Saturday night. Keep kicking them in the nuts.